Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Moldtech Packaging Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhavik Shankaresha from Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. I would like to welcome Mr. Lakshman Rao, Chairman and Managing Director, and thank him for his opportunity. I shall now hand over the call to him for opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you very much, Bhavik, for coordinating this call today. Thanks all participants for participating in the Q4 and annual results of Moldtech Packaging. I'm glad to inform you that the company has closed reasonably well for the full year with a growth of around 11.8% in sales. In terms of volume, it is 7.3%, and the EBITDA has gone up by 7%. And due to high provision of depreciation and financial costs, the PAT has come down marginally by about 9%. I think, yeah, net profit down by 9%. However, the future looks very bright because one of the greatest news for the quarter is our pharma division, which has started just a year ago, barely a year ago, has crossed the break-even in the Q4 with a shot-up of turnover from meager 2.5 crores in Q3 to 6.7 crores in Q4, resulting in the company making profits for the first time in the pharma division too. So this will augur well for the coming years as the traction that is created in the Q4 will continue to spread in the full financial year of current year, and apart from additional new products that are being added in the pharma sector. Another positive development is degrowth of paint industry, which was a 6.7% drop last year, has become 6.8% growth in this current financial year, auguring well for the company's future growth. So this is all the headlines. We can have more information exchanged through question and answers. Can I now give back this line to operator to organize the question and answers?
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Jaiveer Shekhawat from Ambit Capital. Please proceed.
Sure. Thanks for taking my question. And Mr. Rao, congratulations on a good quarter. So my first question is on your pharma division. We have seen a good pickup during the fourth quarter. So one, if you could explain in terms of the approvals that you have received, where are we in that cycle? And also in terms of your revised revenue targets for possibly the next year and the year beyond that for the pharma division. That would be my first question.
Yeah. Regarding the pharma, yes, what all we discussed a couple of quarters ago that several companies have visited and passed our company audits with flying colors. And some of them, I would say, have started picking up volumes in this quarter, that is Q4, resulting in a sudden spurt in numbers to about 2.5 crores to 2.3 crores per month, which enabled us to reach a number of 6.7 crores in the Q4 compared to 2.5 or 2.6 last quarter. And that will continue to improve, if not at the same pace. Definitely, this will become the base now. And going forward, we are looking at a number beyond 30 crores for the full year. It can be better based upon some of the new products which we are launching for the pharma industry in India. In fact, there is again a minor expansion taken up in the facilities. Apart from six, seven machines we started the business with, we are adding five more machines in injection molding category, which are a couple of them have already arrived, and three more machines are coming in June. And the corresponding molds for the same are getting ready. Hopefully by end of May or middle of June, they will also be here for production. So by end of June, we'll be having some more new products that will be bringing in revenues. And we are confident that the former division from 11 crores in the current financial year should be seeing 2.5 to 3 times growth in the next financial year in terms of top line. That is a current update. And to we see much more growth coming up in a couple of years down the line, because this is only the beginning. And out of more than 18-20, I don't know, I lost count, 20 companies which have given us the audit clearance, hardly 4 or 5 of them started commercial buying. So we expect some more players to start buying commercially in the coming quarters, which may add up numbers more rapidly. So as we meet over the quarter on quarter, definitely I'll be able to update and revive the projections. But for now, we'll be certainly crossing 30-plus crores turnover in the current financial year from pharma, and probably 50-plus in the 26-27 year that we can review as we go forward.
Sure. So that's very helpful. I just wanted to touch on the capacity utilization. You mentioned in your slides that you've already achieved over 50% capacity utilization. So given that you are now seeing some traction, I mean, are you aggressively investing in expanding these capacities, or are you still in that wait and watch mode before you expand very aggressively on the pharma fronts?
I would say now the gears have changed a little bit. We are no more very cautious about the investment. We are now more confident, and the results are very encouraging. The way our ability to develop new molds and new products, how it has been attracted in the pharma industry is very heartening. I see a very big gap, especially in new product development in this country for packaging and pharma packaging. And Moltec, with its tool room and product development abilities, can definitely play a major role in that. So currently the expansion is adding few more machines in the existing land and building. But to be cautious, we have applied for further land just next to the existing land in Sultanpur. And a preliminary approval has been received from Telangana government for about 2.5 acres of land, which is very adjacent to the current facility in Sultanpur, Hyderabad. So this will be in future used for pharma expansion. Because...
Hello.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Please, please go ahead.
Yeah. So we are now aggressively adding that land also within for future expansion that is required in the pharma segment.
And so what kind of capacity increase are you doing there, and what would be in terms of tonnage capacity?
Around 1,500 tons per annum, current capacity. That will be at least 3,000 tons during the next few months. Probably by end of December, we'll have molds and machines that can produce up to 250 tons per month. So during this year, from 1,500, probably we'll go to 3,000 tons capacity in terms of manufacturing capacity by end of the March 26. The land and building which is now currently available at Sultanpur will be more than enough to capture to this requirement. But further enhancement beyond 3,000 tons, if that will be certainly required in the next financial year, 26-27, would take up construction in that new plant, new land we acquired. So this current plant which we currently have on hand, and what we can add in Sultanpur land, can cater to up to 3,000 tons per annum, or you can say closely 100 crores turnover.
Sure. So very well understood. On the pain side, I mean, the quarter growth looks very tepid. It's only around 2%. So if you could explain what has been happening with both Grasim and Asian Paints and other clients. And you've also been talking about IML adoption increasing, plus recycled polymer also increasing. So what kind of a growth expectation do you have from the paint segment in the next year?
Yeah, I agree. This quarter, the paint segment growth is hardly 2%. But if you notice, last year it was negative. So that way it is a little better in terms of comparatively, there is a growth of around 13% over the 12 months period for the overall paint industry in this current year, compared to minus 5%. Is this Q3, I think. Sorry, I'm talking wrongly. Minus year to year, there is a growth of 13%. And in value terms, it is 13%. In terms of quantity, it is 6.8%. But for the quarter in question, it is only 2.07%. So we are foreseeing this to change, and it will get better. Our trend in April or even May is on the positive side. The growth will slowly come towards double digit is our hope. From 6.79%, hopefully we'll touch about 10% growth in the next financial year. Given the traction, two reasons. One is Aditya Birla Group has asked us to enhance our capacities, which we did by January. And those capacities have started functioning from March, April onwards. And their numbers are improving now. This is a brownfield expansion, so the delta for investment is marginal, but the numbers can start growing a little more rapidly. So that is one positive thing for ABG. And coming on Asian Paints side, they are shifting more and more brands into IML. And today we have set up all, earlier it used to be only Hyderabad and Satara has the capabilities of giving IML products. Now we have Vizag and Mysore also, Robos and have been installed. So now all four plants started manufacturing IML products for Asian Paints, which was not the case a year ago. So we hope that will stabilize or rather improve a bit in our share from Asian Paints. So with these two positive developments, we are hoping to see a double-digit growth in paint segment in the coming financial year.
Sure. Sir, on your CAPEX side, I mean, earlier you had guided that you'll do 70-80 crores. But when I see the number for FY25, that has reached to almost 140-odd crores, which is the trend that you've done over the last 2 years as well. So, I mean, which segments have you ended up investing a lot more? Is it largely coming from the paint side or are you investing across other businesses and why?
No, it's equal. Actually, in pharma and printing, especially in printing, we invested more than 25 crores in the current financial year, previous financial year, wherein we have added two flexo machines, one offset machine, several die cutting machines, and one rotogravure machine that has more than increased the printing capacity by more than 70%. That's one of the reasons why we clocked a very healthy 25% increase in the food and FMCG sales in the Q4, because our ability to manufacture IML has enhanced from February and that is further enhanced in May. So this is was the reason last year, as I told in my previous quarterly interaction, that printing, rejection of a printing machine and further delay in printing machine acquisition has caused drop in food and FMCG because we couldn't make IML labels in time. So whereas in this year, we are well equipped for that and the proof of the pudding is growth of 25% in food and FMCG in Q4. That is a good positive turnaround because going in Q1, which is ice cream and dairy product season, we are more than ready to capture the increasing demand, which we let go last year.
Sir, my last question is on your realization, given that, I mean, crude oil prices have also corrected sharply. I mean, are you already seeing adverse impact of that on your revenues, possibly in the starting quarter, on first quarter, even we have already seen April?
In fact, on the contrary, we are more positive about improving the EBITDA per kg, which we have crossed 40 after long several quarters. Last 7-8 quarters, we were below 40 rupees EBITDA per kg. And in Q4, thanks to increase in food and FMCG sales and pharma sales, the number has shot up to 40 rupees 15 paisa, which indicates that a better margin scenario is going to emerge in Q1, because in Q1 we'll be having much better capacity utilization and higher sales of food and FMCG, which will be always there in the Q1 due to summer. consumption of ice creams and dairy will reach peak. And this time we are ready with our capacities, and we saw very good improvement in April. And the same trend continues. We might have a positive Q1 growth.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much, and sir, wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Motilal Oswal. Please proceed.
Hello. Good afternoon, Mr. Rao. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a few questions. I think first is hearty congratulations for food and FMCG. Just wanted to understand the growth, what you have delivered in FY25. What are the top 2-3 things you have done right, and can similar growth can come in FY26?
Yes. One major thing we did is our pharma has got into break even right in the fourth quarter, which was not really expected. I was confident, but I was a little skeptical till we did it. And in the Q4, our team did a fantastic job achieving 6.6 crores turnover in the quarter, as against 2.5 in the Q3, or 2.4 in Q3, something like that. So almost 3 times turnover has been achieved in Q4, and that will be sitting as a base for the coming quarters. So we are now looking at anywhere between 30-35 crores kind of top line for pharma in the next financial year, with a very healthy EBITDA margin, which will take up the overall company's EBITDA margin. And second heartening thing is capacity utilization started improving from March onwards, especially in the new expansions we created at ABG for Cheyyar and at Cheyyar and Paripat, which started at least from March onwards. I wouldn't say in entire Q4, but from March onwards we see good traction in ABG's numbers, which will continue during the current next financial year. So we are more optimistic about 25-26 because of these two factors, pharma and ABG growth. And as I said, with the enhanced printing abilities and the printing volumes, we are in a position to capture thin wall growth into double digits again, which slipped the last year below 10%. I think it's somewhere around 5-6% last year. It is now reached 11.76% overall, thanks to a big jump of 26% in the Q4. So going forward, food and FMCG also will be growing. Another reason of my optimism is our Panipat food and FMCG production is starting in June in a small way, but that will start adding up by end of next financial year into a reasonable number. And our square packs also, we have already started manufacturing at Panipat. Last 3 months, we have a couple of clients nearby, but now the client number has gone up to 8 to 10 clients. So square packs, a full set of product range is being created at Panipat starting from June. Already a couple of packs are being made there. Other 2 packs, that is 17 and 10 liter, also will be starting from June onwards. So square packs, thin wall, ABG, pharma, these all 4 are on a good run. So we are more confident about next financial year as we see today.
So one follow-up, in food and FMCG, how many new customers we have added over the last 2-3 quarters, and what is their contribution?
Several clients we add every year in the food and FMCG. Notable is Marico recently, and Mankind for their protein nutritional powder, which is a sizable number. These two are major, but there are several other small and medium clients. In fact, as I said, last year we let go a lot of clients because we couldn't service them due to lack of printing facilities and in-time supplies, which now we are overcome with the expanded printing capacity and able to retain more and more clients than what we let go last year.
Okay. In terms of paints, Asian Paint was giving us a good, strong view, saying that they are now looking at regional pack with IML printing in the regional language. So I'm sure you would have been part of that journey. What kind of opportunity you see over the next 2-3 years?
I certainly am positive about growth with Asian Paints, because last 2 years we degrown in Asian Paints overall numbers. But now with the trend of major brands being shifted into IML, and they have given us a clear advice to have IML facility at all four plants. In fact, is including Hyderabad, there are five plants. With that initiative, I am confident our numbers can become positive rather than dropping. It can even grow in the next financial year is our hope. If that happens, that's why I'm confident of a 10% growth in paint segment in the next financial year.
Okay. So, one follow-up on FY26, overall paint, what would be Asian Paint and ABG volume contribution?
I can't share such details of individual clients because...
But total you can say that, top two clients?
Top two clients are definitely Asian Paints will continue to be our number one client. Number two client is HUL. In terms of tonnage, Grasim comes number two. Gulf, Castrol are close number threes. Hindustan Levers is number four.
Okay.
So that way, last, they continue to be in that same order, I guess.
Okay. Just last question. On slide 14, you have given a various segmental number in terms of volume. Can you just break down each segment? What is the EBITDA we have achieved for full year FY25?
For segment-wise EBITDA, you're asking?
Yes.
No, I don't think we have that data. We can't share as of now.
Okay, I'll take it from Adi separately.
Yeah, probably can take
it. Yeah.
It will be, as I said,
okay.
In the paints, it will be close to 30-32 rupees. In thin wall, it will be close to 70 rupees. In pharma, it will be close to 90-100 rupees. But exactly pinpointed segment analysis, probably you can get later.
No, I was more interested, sir. This quarter you have delivered more than 40, and which was our target. So I just was more curious which segment has driven this.
Definitely food and FMCG and pharma, because if you notice, food and FMCG has clocked a 25% growth, which is one of our high contributors. Pharma, which was zero last year, has contributed at least 2% of the sale. I would say it is more than 2%. It is around, in revenue terms, it is 3.3%, whereas weight basis only 1.8 times. That means you can understand the realization is much better in pharma. Though it is a small number, 6.5 crores, its contribution to the bottom line, or EBITDA, would be reasonably good. But going forward, that will become the norm.
Okay. Okay. All the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Richa from Equitymaster. Please proceed.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for stellar performance in pharma and FMCG. So my question is related to, you know, EBITDA margin per kg and the kind of trajectory that they could take given, you know, the volume growth guidance that you have given for different segments. So I believe, I mean, what is your degree of confidence that we'll be able to reach 42% kind of per kg kind of margin, citing that you were close to a few years ago by FY27? Do you think that would be possible with the mix that we are moving towards?
Yes, we are aiming towards 42, if not immediately, definitely in the next 1 or 2 years. It can easily cross 42, in my opinion, because pharma brings in at a much higher EBITDA margin, close to 100 rupees or more. Food continue to be 70 to 80. But of course, the paint and pails or square packs, they continue to be in the region of 30-35. So overall, as the numbers in pharma and in food and FMCG improves, this number can move towards 42-43 in the next coming quarters. So that is internally our target too, and I don't see it very far away.
Okay. And sir, if just talking about ThinPak and FMCG, I think you suffered some kind of muted growth because of the capacity constraints. And we witnessed 25% growth, but I'm assuming that could also be on the lower base. So going forward, what would be the normalized growth rate in food and FMCG considering increased competition plus, you know, the kind of capacity optimization that you have done?
Yeah, in terms of printing, has been gone up considerably. We see a growth region of 15% to 20% in the next financial year too. Because earlier we lost several clients or didn't entertain smaller clients mainly because of a lack of printing capacity. April saw 20% growth, but how May and June will or next part of the year goes is still not clear. But we are anticipating or targeting a growth of 15 to 20% in the food and FMCG segment as well.
Okay. And so my last question is of capacity. Could you, maybe I missed the CAPEX number that you are aspiring for in FY26, and I believe most of it will be for pharma capacity, right?
It will be partly for pharma for sure, because that is where we are investing again on some land and probably completing the buildings at Sultanpur area as of in the existing land. There will be certainly 20-25 crores investment will happen in pharma in the current financial year. And already we have committed 20 crores of investment in molds and other machinery which are yet to arrive. So I see this year capex in the region of 70 to 80 crores because Mahad plant is yet to go on stream. It is being serviced from Satara plant, but that plant construction is not a big plant, but it would require at least around 14-15 crores of investment there, and pharma requiring around 25 crores. We are further adding a little bit more in printing, not very big investment, to the tune of around 7 to 8 crores. So all put together, our budget for the next financial year, CAPEX is 75 to 80. But for any sudden pharma requirements, we have already factored a 10 crore land, which we are acquiring next to 10 crore worth of land next to our Sultanpur unit in Hyderabad, for purely for future pharma growth. So having said that, the buildings are not yet planned in that location, because there is enough space and land available in the existing Sultanpur places. So that will get filled in this year for sure. Probably the new land what we acquired now or about to acquire now would be future, let's say from 26-27 onwards, we'll be investing in that facility. So overall, okay. CAPEX we wish to keep between 70 to 80 crores for the next FI.
Okay. And so you mentioned around 3,000 ton per annum by the end of FY26 for pharma. May I know the revenue potential? I think you guided for 50 crore kind of revenue, but what is the potential of 3,000 ton per annum kind of capacity from pharma?
See, today a pharma selling price can be somewhere around 300 to 350 rupees kg. So given that even you take conservatively 300 rupees, we are aiming at, let's say, 90 to 100 crores overall best capacity, ideal capacity by this FY. That will be ready for filling up probably in 26-27.
All right. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before I take the next questions, I would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please proceed.
So thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand regarding our pharma business. Are customers currently unhappy with the current suppliers, or is it because of the demand we can see such a sharp jump over the next 2 to 3 years?
No, I can't say that whether the clients are unhappy with our competitors. I don't think so. That would be a major reason, because they've been in business for quite some time. Companies like Gary Scheimer and 3G are in this space for more than 10 years now. What I'm saying is our ability to quickly develop new products, new features. For example, I'll just give you one example. Somebody want to develop a two-bottle holder for an application. While 3G or Gary Scheimer take 4 to 5 months to develop such a new product, including a new concept which is not breaking the patent rules, would take them 4 or 5 months to come up. And whereas Moltec could do it in 1.5 to 2 months. Such kind of opportunity I'm seeing are plentily coming up in pharma space also. I was under the impression all the time that food and FMCG is the only area where dynamic packaging needs will arise. But I also, to my pleasant surprise, found pharma also requiring such agility in developing faster molds and samples. For example, I'll give one more example. There are several companies which have some standards. Let's say 200 ml bottle means it should be, let's say, 15 gram weight or 18 gram weight. But some particular need of a client would come due to whatever the effervescence of the tablet or more stringent rules of longevity of the product, they may ask for a 22 gram bottle. Instead of 18 gram, they want a 22 gram bottle. Most of our competitors might take external help to develop such a small change and might take a couple of months to submit such samples. Whereas without tool room, in-house tool room, we do that kind of changes within a couple of weeks. And the client wanted for stability tests and get his commercials done based on the stability test approval. So for him, saving a couple of months is a big deal. So such agility is what our tool room can bring to pharma. And that I feel is a big gap we are going to fill in.
Okay. So how are the demand supply dynamics in the pharma that in the three products that we are catering to currently?
Yeah, demand supply, there is adequate capacities everywhere and the growth is also positive, but for this disruption of American tariff confusion, there is some disruption here and there, but things are all fine and we are looking at capturing a market of existing market, not looking at the growth because our numbers are hardly anything. Like say, if you talk about 30-35 crores, it is hardly not even 1% of entire pharma packaging requirement in the country. So whether that 3,000-4,000 crore market grows up by 2% or 10% doesn't matter much because we are looking at replacing the existing competitors or gaining market share through our innovations and faster development. So I'm not much concerned as of today about the overall pharma packaging growth because we are looking at, capturing current market opportunity.
Got it. And sir, if I look at our pain segment, sir, if I compare, sir, there was a conference where the Burgess CEO said that the pain's volume have grown from by 13% or 14% over the last 5 years. That is from 2018 or 2019 to 2023-2024. But sir, if I look at our pain volumes, they have grown by 9 to 10% over FY19 to FY24. So that means that we have lost either customer market share or competitors are gaining our market, the incremental volume that we should get, competitors are getting. So any thoughts on that?
Yeah, as I told a couple of quarters ago, we are consciously letting go some of the low value-add opportunities in pain segment. We are not running after low value-add pain companies and letting go people who don't see value in IML or in terms of our quality. There are several clients who are settled with screen printing, who are settled more than enough with heat transfer labels. So such companies with low value add, we are letting go. That is one of the reasons why there's a stunted growth in pale segment. Whereas in the lube segment, lube as it is not a rapidly growing segment. In terms of volumes, they are more or less stagnated. But in spite of that, for the current year, it is a minus 2%. It so happens it will vary between plus or minus 5% every year. So lube is not a great contributor anyway. Coming to paints, yes, now with the Asian Paints moving into IML, at least for the top brands, and we created facilities at all locations, we are now all ready to capture better numbers from Asian Paints is our hope. And ABG certainly has given us an opportunity, and whatever growth they clock in, it will reflect in our numbers. So overall, this year, I can say paints will grow, paints will grow at least by in double digit.
Sir, is it fair to assume that in IML segment that we cater to Asian Paints, we would be the largest vendor or supplier?
Yes, as of today, I guess so. So I don't have clear information about their our competitors' abilities and investment. I mean infrastructure. But today, the indications are those majority of those volumes we are catering.
Important. So there's a final question from mine, sir. Our capacities are fungible, sir. So can we, suppose the loop segment is not growing a lot, so can we repurpose our capacity so that they can cater to pharma or any other segments? So basically pharma, where the compliance would be an issue. So can we repurpose our facilities in the segments that are not growing that much?
I will answer you properly.
Yes,
the paints machinery are fungible for square packs and loop packs. So between paints, loop packs and Q-packs, that is square packs, we have complete fungibility. They are as good as, you know, meant for that particular application. Coming to pharma, the food and FMCG machines are fungible with pharma. The smaller, medium-range machines with robotics are more suitable to pharma rather than a 500-ton machine meant for a 20-liter pail for a paint container. So, of course, it can be, but with an inefficiency. So the fungibility factor between pails, let it be lube or paint, or square pack is complete, 100%. Similarly, the fungibility between food and FMCG machinery and pharma is 100% fungibility. But using a pharma small mold and a big machine of pail doesn't suit properly. It's not economical.
Got it. So there's a final question, sir. What would be the volume growth that you can expect for FY26 and what would be the EBITDA per kg estimate? Can we expect it to move by towards 42 rupees in FY26?
See, I don't want to make a guess now. Definitely, I will answer this question next quarter when we meet after the Q1 result. Our internal target is that, you already said it, we wish to see 15% volume growth this time. With the EBITDA also coming between 41 and 42. But I would like to save my comments till at least June, July. Once we see the Q1 numbers, I'll be able to make a better prediction.
Got it. So thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehul Panjwani from 40 Cents. Please proceed.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. Sir, who are our competitors for the pharma segment?
3G, Gary Scheimer, Leela Prabhudas, what is it? Gopal Das, 3, and Berry Caps only in the caps segment, but in mainly bottle segment and other product segment, these are the major. Parek Plast in tube segment, these 3G, Pravesha, and Gary Scheimer are the major players.
So, sir, since these guys, our competition is already established in pharma and we are a new entrant, how do we, what would be our unique selling point?
I just explained to you the speed at which we develop new products, make minor variations in the existing products due to our in-house tool room is one major positive. Second is our product mix. We have canisters, we have EV tubes. We have bottles and caps, child-resistant caps, and we are coming out with new variety of special-purpose caps. That makes us a one-place supplier for, you know, a wider range of products. Like, I don't think this kind of range is there with everybody. A couple of our major competitors may be having. Even 3G doesn't have effervescent tubes in their portfolio or canisters. So like that, they have broken their product to limited range, whereas we are going ahead with a full set of applications. That is one positive. Second, as I said, tool room and our ability to develop new products is what gives us an opportunity. For example, if somebody wants to launch a product in US, they have to first develop prototypes, They have to develop trial batch of 100,000 or 50,000 pieces and then market it and wait for 6 months for stability and approvals across the supply chain. And after 6 months, they come back to you and ask for commercial production of, say, 5 or 10 lakh pieces a month. So in this kind of a cycle, Moltec can be their best bet, because we are in-house tool room, will be able to develop molds, modify molds, and quickly give them the first lot of 50,000, 30,000 pieces from the temporary molds if needed. And then once they have 6 months, 7 months lead time to get the stability done and see the commercialization, then we quickly make the commercial molds and give them no loss of time. So that kind of advantage is what we bring to the table, and that's been well appreciated by at least 3-4 clients within this 1 year of our existence in pharma. So I see that is going to be a major positive going forward also for Moltec.
Thank you, sir. One follow-up question on this. So, sir, what is the entry barrier for our competition to have this tool room available in their setup?
See, last 39 years or maybe close to 39 years, correctly, exactly, we have been in the injection molding field with the tool room as our backbone, and having invested in very high-end machinery like five-axis CNC machines, spark erosion machines, wire cut machines, and you name anything. So whereas it is not an easy task for anybody to develop a tool room, even a company, in my opinion, like CG, doesn't have an in-house tool room which is capable of developing complex molds. They may be having some maintenance or some kind of a tool room, I guess. It's not easy. One is machinery is not a great deal. Anybody with money can buy that. But the skill set, designing abilities are very difficult to find in our country. Very rarely you will find people with strong capabilities in that line. That is one of the entry barriers.
Sir, this is a great thing what you elaborated. So I'm just wondering that what was, why we were held back on not being in the pharma segment if we have this edge over the competition, and, you know, because the market is also there, we have the ability and the capability. Still, we were not.
What we are doing now, we can't make the announcements in the newspaper, people don't believe it. It's, our team has to go make presentations and prove this point by developing some products, which we are doing now, and then gain their confidence and orders. That's what is happening. That's why within 4 quarters, we could cross the break-even, which generally any pharma packaging company would take 2 to 3 years.
Right. So, sir, can we say that after 3 years, maybe pharma will be the dominant segment for us?
I wouldn't say it will be a dominant or number one segment, but it will certainly be one of the leading segments in Moltec's growth history. I think
okay.
It can, as you said, can happen to be the dominant contributor in terms of profitability.
At least, in comparison to paints, maybe.
Yes, it can in the next 3 years, because there is ophthalmic range, there is nasal spray range, there are, you know, other devices which can be added once we start gaining the confidence of the industry. So,
yeah, because, you know, sir, when we are talking about paint industry, hello? Hello?
So that way, hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, sir, yeah.
Yeah, that way there is a large scope, including injectables, vials, plastic vials, diabetic pens. You have plenty of things to do. We are just at the beginning. So that way, as you said, maybe 3 years, if not 3 years, 4 or 5 years down the line, pharma could be the largest contributor of EBITDA for Moltec. If not on the revenue line, also could be, but I can say in the EBITDA side, it could be one of the major players segments.
Right. Because, sir, I don't know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the potential size of the pharma segment will be far significantly higher than the paint size, right?
In quite just in numbers, paint segment will be still bigger in terms of what paint industry can buy. Maybe higher than in terms of plastic tonnage, it will be higher because of the huge size of containers they buy. But in terms of value addition, in terms of EBITDA and the variety of products, pharma will be much, much bigger. and ability to, if you can export, that is another area we are now started touching upon. Within 1 year of our existence in pharma, we have made one supply to United States, and we have at least 3 or 4 companies showing interest in our products for export to US. So that is another great opportunity we want to parallelly explore. That to become a reality, it might take few more quarters, but our direction is already set. We have taken one export manager who is only dedicated herself in trying for US export opportunities. And even our office of Multi Technologies in Atlanta also helping us wherever it is necessary to go touch base with some of the pharma companies in US.
So, sir, once we are
anything from exports as of now, I'm just keeping that for future.
Right. So, sir, once we taste some success in US, would we also look at European market?
Europe also, we have already in touch with a German company. Already our products are under stability test for last few months. And if there is some positive developments there, we may get one or two opportunities there also. Even Bangladesh has a large requirement of EV tubes, that is effervescent tubes they buy from India. So there also we have started knocking at the doors of some clients. So simultaneously we are looking at export opportunities, but they to become sizable, probably it may take a year or two.
Right, sir. Sir, thank you so much. It's always wonderful to have a conversation with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before I take the next question, I would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Yash Bajaj from Lucky Investment Managers. Please proceed.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I had a question regarding the paint segment this quarter, which grew 2% in volumes. Now, taking into consideration that the Satara plant has also kind of the utilization has gone up upwards of 50%, and the ABG volume has also picked up, then what is the reason for a 2% kind of volume growth this quarter?
As I said, ABG capacity of ABG utilization of the enhanced capacity started only from middle of March, and it is looking strong now in April and May. Whatever the indicated volumes, they are now able to lift from April onwards. So in the quarter of Q4, there was not much momentum. So it was only just 2%. But as I explained in the for the last few minutes, the numbers of paint industry growth will add, come into double digits starting from this quarter, that is Q1.
Okay, and there was an issue with, I believe our Satara plant, which was catering to the Asian paint plant, which was going through underutilization because of some maintenance issue. So has that been
over? The story is completed in the last third quarter itself. And from fourth quarter onwards, as you said, the capacity utilization is 57% in the overall year, which was almost like, what is the capacity utilization in Q4 in Satara? I'll get you that answer. So this year, currently in April, it's almost running at 75-80% capacity. As we are talking now.
Okay. Got it, sir. Okay, that's all. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jaydeep Taparia from IDBI Capital. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I had one question. I wanted to ask the contribution of IML in value and volume terms for this quarter.
Yeah, IML capacity has shot up to 75% in Q4. IML and HTL together is 75.5% as against 64.4% last year. That's up by almost 25% in terms of tonnage. So that's a sizable jump again, thanks to Asian Paints slowly coming into IML in these last few months. One by one, they're adding their grades. So the sizable numbers have moved in. And even in HTL, Asian Paints has moved, even in their low-value paint segment like ABG, they also moved into HTL from screen printing. So we see a drop of screen printing by 26%, and the entire growth has moved into labels, 25.7%. So now today, out of 100%, 76% is almost labeled containers, IML and HTL.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. I repeat, I would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking. Please proceed.
Yeah, congratulations for a good set of number. Sir, just one thing, in terms of paint as a volume or a value-wise, what is the contribution RCPP at the moment?
Now the current statutory obligation of RCP for paint industry is somewhere around 20%, but I think very soon, like June or July, statutory obligation is going to go up to 30%. So in the paint industry, already major players have started using 20%, even in the lube industry. And going forward, it may even become 30% in the next couple of quarters.
But what was the contribution for R volume, in a RCP contribution, R volume overall, or maybe paint volume?
Overall contribution of paint in the volume is around 44.7% of our total volume. So, for example, in the month, in the year of 25, we have made 18,000 tons of paint pails and lubricant 9,200. So about out of 38,000, 27,000 continue to come from pail business. That is 71% of our overall sale.
But how much of that is RCP, sir?
RCP consumption this year is around 6,000 tons, close to 6,000 tons. So out of 27,000, 6,000 means what? 20% you can say.
20%. Okay. Yeah. And what I understand is your realization of RCPP is lower than your normal PP, right?
RCPP is now currently available in wide range of price range, depending upon the quality. Right from 83 rupees, which is of very low quality, raw material price is 105, let's say. There are RCP available at 110 rupees per kg. Companies like Manjushri, Sri Chakra, they make very high-end RCP and they charge more than virgin prices. So now today our average price is somewhere around 95 for RCP. Some of them are bought at 83, some of them bought at 95, some of them are bought at 105. Depending upon the, sometimes client decides which one to buy, sometimes we take whatever is available or whatever is suitable. So based on that, RCP consumption is now reached 20% and it is expected to go up in the next couple of years.
Okay, understood. And in terms of just, can you share one data point with the IML and non-IML? You have shared a volume contribution for 4Q. Can it possible to share in a value term, sir?
In terms of value, yeah. 77.4% is now labels compared to 6.5 last year.
Okay, and what was the for the year, sir? This year as a whole?
For the full year, it is 74.4% in value terms, compared to 68 last year.
It's the same as a 4Q and FY25 is the remaining same number, right?
No, Q4 is 77.4. 12 months is 74.4.
Okay, understood. Okay, sure, sir. Thanks. That's all for my answer, sir.
Thanks, Manish.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I take the last question for the day and would now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So I think the questions are completed. So I take this opportunity to thank each and everybody who participated in this conference. And as I said in my opening remarks, the investments that have been made in the last 3 years started bearing fruit We look forward to a much better future in the coming quarters, not only in pharma, but also in ABG and Tinwal segments. And I hope we'll be in a position to present a better performance in the coming quarters. I thank you once again for your interest in our company's details, and keep in touch. Bye. Thank you, MK, for organizing this conference call.
Thank you. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.